Last week, the lectionary reading came from John chapter 15 and verses 1 to 8, and it was about the vineyard and Jesus being the vine. And in it, Jesus pictures himself as the core of the plant. And we, his disciples, are the branches, and the flowers and leaves are the fruit of our lives. And as branches, we produce fruit in keeping with the plant itself. To bear fruit, we have to keep drawing from the life-giving source. We have to keep abiding in the vine. If we do that, we will bear fruit. Well, this week we pick up John's Gospel again, and chapter 15, and we were reading from verses 9 to 17, which continues the passage about Jesus, the real vine. So let us share that reading now. Thank you.
Our reading this morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruits, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Amen.
So in that reading from John's Gospel, we find Jesus encouraging the disciples to keep his commandments, but above all, to love one another as he loved them. And we explore the invitation to love and the responsibilities of friendship this morning. But what kind of friendship does Jesus offer his followers? Now, once we know the answer to that question, we can then love one another as he loves us. The verses from John's Gospel invite us to share with one another some key concepts of love, joy, abiding, keeping commandments, and bearing fruit. And the roots material heads this morning's sermon, lasting fruit. So let's have a look at those verses from John's Gospel. Verse 9, we find Jesus saying to his disciples, remain in my love, abide in my love. In other words, be at home in God's love. Be convinced of your acceptance as a member of his family. And as you remain in his love, you seek, you long for, thirst for, wait for, see, know, love, hear, and respond to him. And in the love of Christ for his disciples, and the love that these disciples must have for each other, we can see, can't we, an important and a natural connection between the love of the Father for the Son, the love of the Son for the believers, and the love of believers for each other. Now, some of us might wonder why Jesus wants a relationship with us, why he bothers to put up with us. But the astonishing thing is this, that He doesn't just tolerate it. He enjoys it. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy might be complete. Now, when we stay friendly towards Jesus, when we stay obedient, stay faithful to him, we make his joy complete. And so it is a friendship that brings joy to Jesus. That's the first thing that we notice, I think, about his friendship. And Jesus knows from experience that the only way to be full of joy is to be obedient to the Father, even if it is costly. And it can be costly when we live to serve others rather than living for self. Now, so much of modern society is aimed at encouraging people to live for themselves. And this is diametrically opposed to the way of Jesus. And we need to stand firm against such values. And it's also a friendship that has gone to extremes, verses 12 and 13. And you know, no matter how far you have gone for him, for Jesus, he has already gone further for you. He defined the ultimate in friendship, and days later he demonstrated it. And remarkably, Jesus was prepared to go as far as death for his enemies. Romans 5 tells us that. And if that is so, just imagine the extent of his love for you, for me, his friends. You know, love each other as I have loved you. Not easy. And yet that is the quality of relationship that he sets up with us, that is to be carried into our relationships with others. And if we do not carry the quality of his relationship with us into our relationships with others, then where is the breakdown? Surely it is with us. You know, the friends that Jesus called on and counted on often proved unreliable and immature. One doubted him, one denied him, one even betrayed him. And yet he forgave them and loved them anyway. And moving on, you are my friends if you do what I command. And so this friendship brings with it responsibilities. It doesn't involve a contract like marriage or parenthood, but nevertheless the friendship must not be taken lightly, especially not when the partner is in the relationship is Jesus. And friendship with Jesus does not eliminate the necessity for obedience. And anyway, what kind of friendship thrives on disobedience? And so living a life of love is not an option for Christians. Jesus says, you must love one another. It is a command. We are to do good to all people, but especially to those in the family of God. You see, when we Christians love one another, we demonstrate to the world the reality of God's love. We show our love for Jesus by obeying him, and the only way to obey him is to love others. We are not forced to be obedient. We have to choose to love others as Jesus loves us. Jesus gave his life for us. And we do something similar when we put the interests of others before self-interest, regardless of the cost. And it is also a friendship with privileges. I no longer call you servants, but friends. Now, Jesus here isn't talking about a casual acquaintance, but a close, trusted relationship. And it refers to a king's inner circle. In royal courts, the servants must keep their distance. But the inner circle enjoys close contact, direct access, and confidential information. As friends of God, we do these things through constant conversation, by including God in all we do, in our leisure, our work activities, our problems, and our thoughts. Someone once said that when you spend all day mulling over a problem in your mind, that's called worry. But when you spend all day mulling over God's word in your mind, that's called meditation. Now, that suggests to me that if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. And so what we need to do is to focus our attention not on the problem, but on the solution. We want a relationship with God. We need to have the conversation with him. We need to meditate on his word. And then in verse 16, we note that we are chosen by God to bear fruit, to bear lasting fruit. Now, Jesus offers us a friendship that is secure. And we can feel secure in our friendship with Jesus because despite our past failings and our present faults in our character, God has chosen us. Now, believers are not those who have chosen Jesus, but those whom Jesus has chosen. Now, at first, of course, this may seem strange. Now, surely we chose to follow him. Surely it was our decision. But Jesus points us to the deeper insight that God draws people to him, preparing the way as they come to him. As friends of Jesus, we can look back over how we came to faith. And we can see where the hand of God has been at work, moving us in certain ways, which eventually led us to discover him. And to be chosen is to be seen as equal. It means we have been recognized as having something to contribute. It means we are wanted by God. And when we are chosen, it doesn't diminish the lives of others. It enhances them. For those who are chosen for one reason, to serve. And it's when we recognize one another as being chosen by God that we begin to show love and respect to one another in a new way, in a way we never have before. The strength, the friendship with Jesus gives us the strength to give, and it is in giving, in that giving, that we bear fruit. And the fruit in this instance, in verse 17, is love. But more than that, it is love in action. And we can only be fruitful by abiding or remaining in the vine. You know, when we live among each other in a way that mirrors the demanding kind of friendship shown to us by Jesus. So love one another. As I've just said, it is the friendship that we enjoy with Jesus that gives us the strength to give, the strength to love one another. He tells us, you know what it is to have received friendship. Now go and be people who give friendship. And you know what? His love is great enough for us to be able to share it effortlessly. Now, one of the consequences of being a friend of Jesus is to share his love, a love that will bring about lasting fruit. Mother Teresa said of love, "It is not how much we do, but how much love we put into the doing. It is not how much we give, but how much love we put into the giving." Jesus was prepared to give his life in loving service of others. He simply lost himself, loving and caring for anyone who needed it. Anyone who wanted to talk to him. Anyone who sought his company. He never seemed to be too busy for anyone. He didn't miss an opportunity to encourage, to sympathise, or share a celebration. And no one who genuinely inquired was ever made to feel small or inadequate, no matter who they were or what kind of life they were leading. Jesus gives his own meaning to friend. Someone who gives everything and shares everything. Jesus says, "Love one another as I have loved you." May we as individuals and as a church go forth to show that love and bear lasting fruit. Amen.